There's no combination of words I could put on the back of a postcard. No song that I could sing, but I can try for your heart. And our dreams, and they are made out of real things, like a shoebox of photographs with sepia tone loving. Love is the answer, at least for most of the questions in my heart. Like, why are we here and where do we go? And knock on me so hard. And it's not always easy, and sometimes life can be deceiving. I'll tell you one thing, it's always better when we're together. It's always better when we're together. Yeah, we'll look at them stars when we're together. Well, it's always better when we're together. Yeah, it's always better when we're together.
It's Friday, October 14th, 2011. I'm Ben Bowden, and this is the First Baptist Daily, a daily podcast aimed at the understanding and application of God's Word. Now, Fridays at the Daily, we take one of your questions, and today's question is a tough one. It reads, what are the seven spirits of God mentioned in Revelation? Is this the same as Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2? All right, let's talk about Revelation. First of all, we've got to see that this book encompasses three genres of literature: apocalyptic literature, prophecy, and epistle. Now, an epistle is a letter written from someone to someone. Now, this book has no parallel. Throughout church history, there have been different approaches that people have taken to how we interpret Revelation. And there's four main approaches. The first one is called the preterist approach. And this is the approach that we're looking at Revelation as something that was only intended for those first century Christians, and the only application was what was going on in their lives at the time. All right. It's not about future things from this approach. It's about what is going on at that time, and that's where its meaning stops. All right. Number two approach is the historical approach. This says that all of church history is fulfilling the things we see in Revelation. And so there have been attempts in church history to tie details of events back to particular verses in Revelation. All right, number three is the symbolic approach. And this take just believes that the entire book is symbolic of the battle between Christ and Satan, between good and evil. And then the fourth approach is the futurist approach. And this basically says that Revelation is all prophecy. It's looking forward to events that are going to happen one day. Now, here's what I encourage you to do. As we look at Revelation, we need to look at it through two lenses. First of all, through the lens of what it meant to these first century Christians. Was there application for them? Yes, absolutely. There was huge application to where they were at that time. But then also, number two, we need to look at it through the lens of what this book tells us about all time as a whole. All right, there are all kind of instances in Scripture where, even in the Old Testament, we see a prophecy of something that is going to happen, and it's fulfilled at one point in part, but it's fully fulfilled in Christ. All right, that's the kind of picture we're seeing here. Now, when we read this book, we've got to remember that imagery is used here, and the imagery is fantasy. All right, by that, I don't mean that it's not truth. All right, it is truth. But I do mean that we see fantasy-type images in this book, and they represent things. If we get so bogged down in the details of each image used, we're probably not going to get the point of why it was depicted that way. All right? So don't get too caught up in the details, in the minute details. All right, with that said, let's look at the question. What are the seven spirits of God mentioned in Revelation? Well, the seven spirits are mentioned in chapter 1, chapter 3, chapter 4, and chapter 5. And there are different views for this. There are different views for this, for these seven spirits of God. Some see them as seven angels, just seven angels. But I'm telling you, that's hard to believe. And the reason it's hard to believe is because the term spirit is not used of angels anywhere else in the book. Not one time. All right? Now, here's what seems to be communicated here. The seven spirits of God is a way of speaking of the Holy Spirit. The number seven is used in the sense of totality, completeness, and perfection, as it is in other parts of this book. And so these places that mention the seven spirits of are basically figurative expressions of the one Holy Spirit who has complete and perfect and total knowledge and power. He is completely and fully God. So concerning the seven spirits, John is speaking of the Holy Spirit. And here's the next question. Is this the same as Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2? Yes, I think so, yes. This passage reads, Isaiah 11, verse 2 says, "And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord." Right, what's happening here is that this passage is speaking of the Holy Spirit who will empower the coming Messiah. So in Isaiah 11 and in Revelation, these passages are simply speaking about the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. All right, this is deep stuff. But it's good to study the Word, and it's good to know it well. May the Holy Spirit empower us as we wrestle through even the tough passages, and in so doing, may we make much of Christ in all the earth. I'm Ben Bowden, and I'll meet you again next week on the First Baptist Daily.
Yeah, it's always better when we're together. We're somewhere in between together. Well, it's always better when we're together. Yeah, it's always better when we're together.